This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning. I'm Jim McPhee. I'm privileged and blessed to be with you today. When have you been deeply welcomed? When have you been received just as you are? Today we read about the disciples having been gathered, being now sent out with a radical message of God's welcome, a gift for us, a gift for us to share with others. In that spirit, let us worship.
God calls into our midst those who are beloved in all their diversity. God calls into our midst all those who are vulnerable, in need of healing, teaching, and shelter. God calls into our midst all with a word of challenge and a hope that proclaims God's kingdom for all. God welcomes them. We welcome them. Let us worship. Let us pray. Holy One, who calls us into community and invites us to welcome your prophets and messengers, let us experience your welcome to us gathered in various places but joined in the moment. Help us to know that we are beloved and honored in your presence and in this community. Show us how to extend ourselves as you welcome us. Help us to know that the cup of water given in your name nourishes the one who gives and the one who receives. Satisfy our thirst to know your presence here and now. Amen.
Good morning. I know in the summertime at St. Mass, we usually don't have the children's time during our worship, but I hope you'll join me for a few moments this morning. My name is Jim. I know you don't know me. But let's talk a minute or two about friendship and movement. But first, I want to introduce to you Jinu Chung. That's the photo over my shoulder here. He's coming to be our new pastor and our friend. He's married to Haywan. They have a son named Joshua. And you can tell by the photo that Jinu is a fan of the Boston Red Sox. I want to ask you, have you ever moved to a new house or a new town, or maybe somebody you know has moved here from a different place? When anyone moves to a new place, it can be a little sad and scary, can't it? If we are moving, we are leaving friends and places behind that we've known and loved, and it's hard. And if we're moving to a new place, we can't be sure if we're going to make new friends again, especially not right away. When Pastor Steve and Pastor Beth retired and moved to Maine, it's very sad to see them go. They've been our good friends for a long time. We'll miss them. But Jinwoo and his family are moving also. They're moving here. And they've left beloved friends where they were. And they're coming here. They're choosing to come here to live with us, to be our pastor, to be our friends. It's going to be so good to get to know them. In the midst of lots of change in the church, the good news with us is that whether we move or whether we stay right here, God always gives us love of friends, old friends and new friends. Our old friends stay our friends, even though it changes, doesn't it, when we're not living close to each other. And our new friends, it's an opportunity to get to know somebody new and to learn about them and to learn to love them in different ways and new ways. May you take the opportunity that you have to really get to know our new friends, the Chun family. Let's pray together. Dear God, we give you thanks for all the ways that you love us and all the ways that you give us to love our friends, old and new. May you continue to be with us as we seek to make new friends in the Chun family. Amen.
And now reading from the Hebrew Bible, a reading from the Psalms. I will sing to of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David. I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor, our horn is exalted. Our shield belongs to the Lord, our King to the Holy One of Israel. The word of life. Thanks be to God.
Reading from Matthew's Gospel this morning, in the 10th chapter, beginning at the 40th verse. This is Jesus speaking to the 12, the disciples. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whomever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, by the gift of your Spirit, may you bring for our hearts and lives once again today the power of your word. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
What are your experiences of receiving welcome and acceptance? When have you received grace and hospitality that touched you deeply? And when have you offered those gifts to others? Perhaps your experience has been with family or friends. Some of us are in extended families or blended families in which new relationships just happen sometimes, and they grow deep and the circle expands. It's a way when we first choose to love and then our feelings catch up after. Maybe your welcome has been in a church community, maybe this church community. Even in the short time I've attended St. Matthew's, I've heard many of you tell about welcome and grace you've received here, or that you've offered to new folks here. Kevin and I have certainly experienced this hospitality. I've known people who have been offered radical hospitality on a mission trip. You know, we fairly prosperous, privileged, well-educated folks can be very humbled when we are the recipients, joyful and generous by those who think who don't know that we're there to help them. It can be a powerful lesson once again that generosity is about faith and heart and joy and not about things. A friend once told me that the experience of welcoming that struck closest to home for her was when their daughter brought home for the first time somebody she was going to marry. How are we at extending radical acceptance and welcome while we're sizing up someone who's going to join the family? It's not an original thought of mine that when any of us has a profound experience of grace ourselves, of being deeply welcomed and fully received, we then gain a powerful understanding of the acceptance that our sisters and brothers seek, that our sisters and brothers deserve. This is not a matter of being friendly or nice. This is a matter of heart and spirit in which we are touched or may touch others at the core. So I ask again, what are your experiences of receiving welcome and acceptance? What are gifts of grace that have touched you deeply? And how have you offered that along to others? In the case of the disciples in our passage today, Jesus, who has called and gathered the 12, is sending them out again, sending them out to do kingdom work. In our few verses in the gospel, Jesus talks about both how people will receive the disciples as they're sent into the land, and about how the disciples themselves will impact those whom they meet in their ministries. This is about God loving people enough to be welcomed and to welcome. Whatever you want to call it, hospitality, welcome, acceptance, it is first God's gift of love and grace, blessing, which becomes choice and a way of life for us, a way of being in which we're opened up to God, we're opened up by God to embrace others, and to live in new ways in the world. In this present moment in our society, as we are struggling anew with deeply rooted racial injustice, first, let me say that this is not about politics. Some may want to make it that, but I hope that there can be no question, that it is God's nature and God's desire for humankind that all the children of the earth should be valued and honored and loved. Especially in the face of long histories of racism, continuing systems that keep keep peoples apart and treated differently, many of us advantaged and privileged to the detriment of some of our neighbors, let us not be distracted from what is really needed. And they are God's gifts which open hearts and minds to lead to new and deeper relationships, a wider circle, beloved community. If a wider circle and beloved community is God's purpose, and if it is our hope, then this is a profoundly spiritual matter, isn't it? In deep reflection and prayer, in our worship and study together, as we listen to our neighbors of color and what their lives are really like, as we lean forward in God and how we conduct our own lives and how we reach out to others, this is truly holy work. Now, I speak to you as an old white male New Englander. Most of that is obvious to you. And I say that I have work to do. I have work to learn about the full history of the communities, the state that we live in. In short, I cannot really go forward in my life as if it is business as usual. What are the lived experiences of people of color in our towns and beyond? What are the policies of our local governments and police and schools? How do we live and model inclusive community? For us white folks, how do we engage other white folks about changes that need to happen? Tragic events and powerful demonstrations may get our attention, but in faith language, God is calling us to be prophets of welcome. Prophets of welcome, as there is much to do in healing and building beloved community. You will be welcomed if you are a welcoming presence. You will transform lives, even if in a seemingly insignificant way, like offering a cup of cold water. You will transform lives only if you are transformed yourself. It isn't just what we say that offers grace as much as it is our being, our presence, our hearts, our spirits in action. Maya Angelou wrote it this way. She said, do the best you can until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. As with the disciples getting set out to do kingdom work in a world that may not readily accept what's being offered, we are called to live as prophets of welcome, with hearts and minds seeking deeper relationships and a wider circle, perhaps in ways that we're not as comfortable with at first. This mission may be neither easy nor popular in our small towns and schools, or in our families and among our friends, or in our workplaces, or even our church communities. But in God's grace and powerful gifts of love and acceptance, we are called to this holy work, or to continue this holy work. It's time for us to look honestly and fully at ourselves and our culture's racial divide. It's time for us as Christ's own to celebrate and live into God's purpose and vision for humankind and human community, as we give thanks for the great love and grace of God for each one of us. Let us open wide the doors of our hearts and communities and churches for new experiences that will change the world. To the glory of God. Amen.
Draw the circle, line.
Let our hearts be in prayer together. Loving God, we come to you today recognizing that in matters of race, we have no choice. We are who we have been made to be. Before you, we rejoice at our diversity, and our hearts lift at your great vision of a multitude gathered from every nation and tribe and people and language. But nonetheless, we recognize that our present reality is very far from this vision. We have each of us been shaped by different forces. Some of us have been ground down while others have been built up. Some of us have inherited power while others have inherited powerlessness. Some of us have been born white in a world where whiteness confers privilege, and others of us have been born black or brown or of different colors in a world where darker skin carries disadvantage. We know that this is not as you would have it, but it is our world and it has been our experience. And we come now to pray, your kingdom come on as it is in heaven, and to offer ourselves to live out your coming kingdom of equality and justice in our lives, in our churches, and in our communities. Help us to discover our true and rightful place within the new humanity created in Christ Jesus. All races together, we confess that we have sinned and that we have fallen short of the glory of God. We pray for our churches. May they become places of reconciliation where each human soul is valued and where equality in Christ is a reality in our midst. Forgive us those times where we do not live out our calling as your people. May our churches model the new humanity of Christ to those in the communities where we live. We pray for our communities and our country and our world. Where there is division, may we bring restoration.
Where there is inequality, may we bring justice. Where there is powerlessness, may we lift up the brokenhearted. Where there is damage, may we bring healing. O God, hear our prayers. Hear the desires of our hearts to be different. Grant us your forgiveness and remake us according to the likeness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. As you know, we're recording this service before Sunday, and so we're not able to read your prayer request in the chat live. But I thought we'd take just a few moments of quiet where you at home, whether you're by yourself or with others, might read aloud some of the prayer requests in the chat together, as they are your prayers that become our prayers together.
We pray for all who are in need. We pray especially for those who are lonely, poor, or sick, and all who feel that they are not welcome. We pray that by your grace in us, we may be lovingly present for those who hurt in this world, and that we may be prophets of welcome. This is my prayer. This is our prayer. We pray for one another and ask your blessing on each person gathered for our service today. We especially give thanks for the long ministry of Ken Plant and all the ways you have gifted him to bless our worship and ministry over the years. We ask your blessing on our new pastor, Janu, and on his family as they leave a beloved congregation and come to minister and live in our midst. May they be surrounded here by welcome and grace. Bless our church and the whole body of Christ that we may be led by your Spirit and go where the wind of your love invites us. This is my prayer. We pray for justice and peace in the world. We especially pray in these days that we may see the injustices which we have grown comfortable or blind to and be moved to work for your holy welcome and blessed community among us. We pray for the coming of your reign of mercy. This is my prayer. And now let us join our voices in prayer wherever we are, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
On a usual Sunday, when we're gathered here and worship together, the offering is a time when the offering plate gets passed among us, and we make our important contributions, our important tithes to the life and work of the church and the purpose of God across the world. And by the way, thank you for your continuing support even when we're not here. But today I thought it would be good for us to just spend a couple of moments to consider what other gifts we have to offer. What in the metaphorical collection plate can we offer up of ourselves, of our own gifts in the work to which we are called. So I offer you this moment of reflection and offering. Let us pray. Gracious God, your hospitality has surrounded us and welcomed us. May we grow each day in how we extend welcome to others of your children, not just to those who look like us or who think like we do. May our offering of our own hearts and gifts this morning be our way to extend comfort and healing and welcome to those for whom your love may be a mystery. We pray all these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
And now I'd like to take this opportunity to thank Ken Plant for all his years of service. And before I share a few personal reflections, I wanted to let you know that everyone will have an opportunity to say some personal thanks to him after the service. Ken will be participating in our Zoom coffee hour, and there's a link on the church website. The password is coffee hour. It's one word and no caps. We will also be collecting financial gifts starting this week through the end of July. You can either send a check to the church with a staff gift or Ken retirement in the memo section, or through our online giving through Breeze on the church website, choose staff gifts from the drop-down menu. So I just want to let you know that there's going to be plenty of opportunities for everyone to thank Ken, and I hope that you'll all join us for the Zoom coffee hour after the service. As I'm about halfway through my 28th year here at St. Matthew's, I'm reminded of the paradox that the only constant thing in life is change. And Ken, you've been a constant St. Matthew's for almost 18 years. And now that you're retiring, that too will change. So before we share a video with some other reflections, I wanted to share a few of my recollections of your time here at St. Matthew's. You've always been so generous with your time and your talent, not just at choir rehearsal and the two Sunday services every week, but also countless holiday services, concerts, and coffee houses. And you've been willing to try a variety of music. You've stretched with a choir on some of the more challenging pieces. And you're happy to just go and accompany the kids on some simple things for the annual pageant. And I always appreciated your sense of humor. Whenever we were frustrated, there was a little bit of tension during choir, you'd have your little snippet. And I must say, every time now I hear the Charlie Brown theme, I will think of you, Ken. And I sat behind you and in the front row of the choir, behind the organ for all those years. And having taken just a few years of piano lessons, I really could appreciate your talent and your skills. And it was just so much fun to watch you play. And I must say that watching you play the organ, I suppose, is like a novice chess player watching someone play three-dimensional chess. It's just amazing to see the hands, the feet, and everything going. And you did it with such grace and style. And I also appreciated your willingness to go beyond and do a few extra things. And I remember the one time when you actually had your daughter help. She put together a dance video, and you gave Marsha and Jennifer and I a flash drive so we could do our Donna and the Dynamos at the coffee house. And it was really a lot of fun. So I thank you for your friendship, your fellowship, and your sharing your gift of music with such joy for all these years. And now we'd like to share a brief video with some more reflections on your time here at St. Matthew's.
What an honor to be asked to say a few words about Ken Plant, keyboard extraordinaire. He is such an incredible man that it's almost impossible for me to keep this under 3 minutes, but here I go. I first met Ken when he interviewed and auditioned for the organ vacancy at St. Matthew's back in 2001. The usual questions were asked during the interview, but the revelation came at the audition time, a time for Ken to show his skills on the organ. He played a few selections, but then went on to explain all the things that our particular organ could do. He slid open a drawer on the side and continued to explain what could be done with those controls. June Hill, a fine organist whom I had known for many years, was sitting beside me, and we looked at each other as if to say, "He really knows this organ. He's the one." There was no question that he was talented, and we soon found out also very personable. At that time, I was also singing in the chancel choir, and I made sure I sat where I could watch his hands and feet glide over the keys and the pedals. It was always a sight to behold. There's also another side of Ken that you wouldn't know about unless you sang in the choir when Ken was at the piano. During rehearsal, when the director was getting too wordy or people were chatting too much, Ken had a way of indicating that it was time to get back to business. This never happened during the drills for learning the music, but only when conversation sidetracked the rehearsal. Ken would start playing a Charlie Brown theme or some other little ditty that got our attention and a chuckle or two. He made his point. I often wondered what it would have been like if he and the pastor collaborated on a sermon, with Ken interjecting snippets from his vast repertoire of music ditties. Ken is a people person, quiet but very engaging in conversations. I love to hear him talk about his fascinating history of attending music events with his dad, jamming together with his high school music buddies, and his experiences during his early days of piano and organ lessons and first church jobs. He talked about all his background experiences with such warm memories. He has such a natural talent and an incredible memory. If you mention a piece of music, he would fiddle around a little, find the right key, and start playing. And then he would stop and say, "Something like that." Ken knows good music and instruments, and knew that with the incredible acoustics of our sanctuary, we needed good keyboards in addition to the organ. He encouraged us to fundraise to buy the Yamaha Clavinova and also the Baby Grand. Both are wonderful additions to the music program at St. Matthew's, and he took very good care of his instruments. Ken has been the easiest accompanist with whom to collaborate. I don't think there has ever been a piece of music that he could not play, and I marveled at how well he could bring out inner melodic lines that would enhance the overall music. When accompanying the handbells, he selected the keyboard instrument that would best bring out the music that we were trying to do. Often with my small handbell group, Ken would use the Clavinova because it could be moved closer and make a better ensemble sound. But the Baby Grand was great for the fuller sound with my larger group, the Bells of St. Matthew's. I always marveled at the ease in which he could organize his music on Sunday morning. Think about how much he had to do. Prelude, first hymn, word and song, psalter or canticle, second hymn, offertory, communion music, third hymn, benediction response, and the postlude. At least 10 pieces. Whenever we had a coffee house or a special concert, Ken would never complain about the amount of music he had to learn. No matter how much he was asked to play, he made it look easy, and he looked like he was having fun. So how do I say goodbye to someone who has made being a part of the music team at St. Matthew's so pleasurable? I can't. We will all miss Ken and his special gift and knowledge of music, his ease of playing the piano with his hands floating over the keys. I will also miss his vast repertoire that covered all genres of music, especially his light jazz arrangements of familiar hymn tunes. I look forward to the time when this coronavirus pandemic is over and we all feel comfortable congregating again. And when we do, and if St. Matthew's needs a substitute organist, I hope Ken will be the first person we call. I have known many fine pianists and organists, but never one who was as versatile and gifted as Ken Plant. Ken, I will really miss you, but I wish you well in your retirement. God bless.
Ken, one of the most consistent joys working at St. Matthew's was working with you. I so appreciated your musicianship, your flexibility, your willingness to put up with so much of my craziness and a lot of my last-minute, whoops, what about this-ness? And you were always unflappable and generous with your time and your talent. I appreciated all of that stuff, how easy you have been to work with, the gifts that you've given, the hours and hours that you gave beyond what was required in your job description, that you gave to St. Matthew's, to the choir, to other musicians accompanying so many people. But you know, the thing that strikes me the most about working with you is what a gentleman you are. What a kind man. Sometimes it even came through in the music, but it always came through. What a gracious, generous heart. I have so loved working with you for the 9 years I got to be at St. Matthew's. And I thank you. And God bless you. I bless you, and God blesses you for all the years that you spent here and all those churches sharing your wonderful spirit. Thank you so much. God bless.
Nothing like a mini drive-by to say a huge thank you and a sad bye-bye. Jim and I are going to miss coming to the early service before anybody else gets there and hear you fill the empty sanctuary with your music. You'd even stop practicing and play one of Jim's favorites, America the Beautiful. For me, your music greased the wheels of worship. I'd tap my foot sometimes, I'd hum along, and sometimes I'd even have to hold back a tear. That's what music does, and you generously shared it with us for 18 years. I'm going to miss our chats about grandchildren and golf before and after the service. It was such a nice way to begin and end Sunday morning. Ultimately, your legacy for me comes from the last line of a favorite hymn. Joyful music leads us sunward in the triumph song of life. Ken, I wish you a long and happy retirement with your family and friends, and may your heart always be filled with a melody.
We have a few announcements this morning I'd like to share. First, just to underline what Nancy said about joining Ken in the coffee hour and the opportunities to make contributions that way. Remind us that next Sunday is the first Sunday of a month, and usually here it's Food Sunday. We have food collections that support the ministries of different food cupboards in our region. And so ask you to bring your contribution into the narthex, into the lobby for that anytime. Reminder that it's not too late to join the Tuesday night ecumenical book study. It's an online book study. The information is in the weekly news on our website. But the book is The New Jim Crow, and it's been very well attended by folks here at St. Matt's and from other communities. So we commend that to you. And lastly, maybe you saw before this morning service began, information on Vacation Bible School. That's coming up in another 3 weeks or so. You can register on the website, or you can sign up if you'd be willing to help out in some way. Don't be afraid to be in touch with Josh if you might be willing to help out and want to know what some of the needs might be. And now let us go to love and serve God and our neighbor in all that we do. We are sent in the grace and peace and transforming love and welcome of Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.
Amen.